This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
This is a Wednesday, and as we do on Wednesdays at this time, we bring you the Language Corner. And this month is the month of April, and we go to isiZulu lessons. And you know, I'm sure now, you know the drill. You dial in on 0861-987-000 and ask the questions that you want to ask. But you also tweet me at Lukhona Mnguni, hashtag PowerTalk, just to make sure that I am able to have as much as is possible for us to talk through this time around. Our next teacher is Mongezi Bolofo, and he's my guest. He's a linguist, a language practitioner, specializing in isiZulu. Now, this is a language I'm quite familiar with, so I'll try, though, make sure that we don't only have it in isiZulu, because I've spent quite a long time in KZN. I think I have a total of 15 years of my life spent there. Mongezi, sawubona.
Sawubona, baba, kunjani?
Siyaphila, kunjani kwena?
Siyaphila mfowethu, asibingelele, and greetings to all your listeners.
Thank you so much for joining us and being with us here. Perhaps let us start in a very structured way to say, ulwimi lwesiZulu, what is isiZulu? Luyini? And what are some of the history or historical lessons that we need to take into account when we talk about isiZulu?
That's a great, interesting question, Lukhona. You would note that the Zulu people are not only the descendants of the king called Zulu, but they had kings before that, and they were part of the AmaNguni, the big Nguni cluster of the Bantu that settled down from the Congo Codified and coming down and settling down as we know the history. So it was until their fourth king, I think Zulu Kamalandela, where we had the nation of the Zulus, and where we started the chieftaincy of the Zulus. And isiZulu as a language is a dialect of the Nguni language, which encompasses the two big groups. We've got the Zunda group and the Tekela group. So the Tekela group is the one that has a dominating ta sound in it.
Yeah.
Languages like Siswati, Puti, the Xhubis, it's among the groups of languages that.
So the Xhubis would be
language.
Among the Tekela Ngunis.
Yes, will be amongst the Tekela Nguni. The Putis also will be there. The Ntlanguinis will also be there. And then you've got the Zundas, where the Zulu is. That's where you find languages like Xhosa, Ndebele, and Zulu. And so those are all part of the subdivision of the Nguni language. So Zulu is a language that is a Zunda language. It is a dialect of the Nguni language. And in itself has got various dialects in itself.
Absolutely. Yeah. But I mean, then before we get to those dialects, because, you know, some people will say, abantu bakhuluma isiZulu eShepstone abafani nabantu abasikhuluma lapha ngasemandla. Now, how did the name then transform to being isiZulu? So when does Zulu get introduced?
isiZulu would obviously start after the AmaNguni of uZulu, because we had a splinter group there. We had some kind of a schism that happened with the children of Malandela, and uZulu was one of the children of Malandela, and was the one favored to be followed by many people, and his mother apparently favored him to take the chieftaincy. And so his brother Ukwabe moved to a different direction, and then Zulu came down, and so those people started to be known as AmaZulu, and that is where the people who are speaking the Nguni dialect, that is the Zunda, is called AmaZulu, isiZulu today. So that's where they derived the name from, their king Zulu. We can discuss at some point in time the etymology of the word Zulu itself, because you would know that Zulu would also mean heaven.
Yes.
Zulu would also, you will see the traces in Xhosa where you talk about something in Zulu, which is something that is profound, that is deep. So that's where that whole name of AmaZulu and isiZulu comes from.
I'm joined by Mongezi. He's our new and latest teacher here on the Language Corner as we unpack isiZulu. That line is 0861-987-000 if you have any thoughts and questions to put to him. Now, let's deal a bit, Mongezi, we'll come back with the etymology issue. Let's deal with the dialects, because within isiZulu, there are quite different strands.
Yeah. You would appreciate that isiZulu is, in South Africa in itself, is spoken by the 24% of the population, which is spread out in different areas and therefore make contact with other different languages. You also find isiZulu in countries like Malawi, in countries like Zimbabwe, in countries like Zambia, and they have a particular dialect of isiZulu there that they speak. So talking dialects in isiZulu itself, you'll find in KZN, we used to have, which some of the dialects have phased out. The Zulus themselves used to fall under the Lala Zulus.
Yeah.
There was Amalala, Amantungwa, Amadebe, and Amatonga, which is what you find with the Tsonga people. Those are called Amatonga. Amatonga. And then you've got the Debes, which are the ones that use mostly the lips in their speech. You find that when they pronounce a sound, but they would use the VH, it would be dentolabial instead of bilabial. So they say ba like Bavenda, Babenda, and Mubango, and all things like that. Those are the languages that belongs into that, and Shona. So Zulus were mainly the Lalas. The Lalas have got an easy tongue. They spoke like the children, so they were using mostly the palate. Hence, you have some traces of those words today. Bayete, for instance.
Yeah.
In the Ntungwa Nguni, it is balete, bring them on.
Okay.
So they would call, when the king calls them, they would then say balete, bring them on, and which then became bayete at the time, because the Zulus were the Lalas. They were using palates, so sounds like L will come out as yeah, especially of the word. So instead of lapho, they would say layo. Bayete, umyoyozelo, and it was Shaka, because King Shaka grew up with the Mthethwas, in the clan of the Mthethwas, who were mainly speaking isiNtungwa.
Yes.
So the kind of Zulu they were talking is isiNtungwa. And so language planning started with Shaka, who had a dislike of how the Zulus were talking as Lalas. So he changed and commissioned people to say, stop talking this thing now. You must pronounce words like this. You must say them. And then language planning in isiZulu started at that time. So mainly the traces are still visible in different parts. And now in the modern era, we also have urban and rural Zulu.
Yeah.
Where you find here in KZN, you can tell that someone in the urban areas would have a lot of borrowed words coming in. For instance, we say, we understand.
Yeah.
When the original Zulus will say uyezwa, they always use derivational methods of the language to find a way to say things. So say umakhalekhukhwini, for instance, for iselula.
Instead of okay.
Yeah. In the urban areas, they will say iselula.
Now, in fact, on those distinctions, Mongezi, I've got a tweet here from Zakele, and he's asking, ngicela ukubuza ukuthi iZulu liyana or liyanetha?
iZulu liyana. Netha is to get wet of the rain or of any liquid. So you would say ngiyanetha. I am getting wet.
Yes.
Ngiyanetha. As we also say when someone is not in high spirit, is not feeling well, we say ngimbonile ehleli ube netile nje. So he was down. So it means he kind of in a state of deterioration. So iZulu liyana, the verb to rain is na.
Yeah.
So imvula iyana, iZulu liyana, but mina ngiyanetha. Or you can say kuyanetha, it is raining. All the environment, imvelo yonke, iyanetha, it is getting wet outside. Yeah.
Okay. And then what are some of the other, you then move, you go to other provinces and some people will say,
yes.
Yeah, then we have isiZulu sakhona, no.
We have what they've obviously Gauteng is another area where you find a whole lot of the Zulus and Mpumalanga predominantly, and there are traces in Gauteng. Obviously, you've got a concoction of different languages coming in together, and the interesting part is that there are parts of Nguni language that is very much preserved in Gauteng than in KZN. For instance, we talk about the word ukuphahla. In KZN, mostly when we talk about ugyo kuluma emsamo, ugyo teta ilos, and in Gauteng you say niyaphahla. When something enters your eye and someone must help you to take it out, we say pepeta, which is to blow.
Yeah.
In Gauteng, we say something iyangiphandla. When in Zulu, we say khopha. In Gauteng, you say iyangiphandla. In Zulu, in KZN, we use tosha for picking up something. In Gauteng, you use doba. And then we've got borrowed nouns like ugurasa. In Gauteng, say uyarasa when you're making noise. In KZN, it'll be ubangumsind.
Yeah. And these are sort of localized forms, but are they only just out of contact with other languages, or it's because there's also an given geographic location, then there would be integration of other languages to the language itself?
I think it's a geographical integration that is happening there when the languages are coming in contact, because you've got these traces also go up to areas like in the north of KZN, in Newcastle, in Ladysmith, in Escort. You find a peculiar sound, like a phonic of isiZulu, that is more leaning to Gauteng kind of Zulu, because a lot of people move in between the two areas, and so there's contamination that is happening there. So you find things like that, where you have the words like ugumbasha and tumezela. In Zulu, we say tumela, to send someone. You say wong tumezela, send it to me. And you'll find that this is because of the closeness of the Ndebeles also. They are in close proximity, so they will share these things. Also with Xhosa in Gauteng, they will then share with the Zulu. So the three Ngunis of the Zunda will then share their words in that space. You've got umtana, for instance. We say umtuana, and they say umtana in Gauteng. Umtana gabo in locatives. We will say umtuana wagubo kwa Dlamini.
Yeah. Mongez, let us just take Umpo here on 0861-987-000, because this is a class and it's not my class alone.
Yep.
Umpo, good morning.
Good morning, my brother, and thinking. Good morning to your guest. I think he's solid in breaking down this knowledge. The issue I wanted to establish was the relationship between the Zulus and the Tswanas, because there are those who claim to have a Zulu flavor in Botswana, right in the middle of Botswana, who says they had a connection with the Zulus. How, it's always very difficult to explain. So maybe if the history could help to clarify what has been the connection between Zulus and other people who are not necessarily Zulus, but there's a flavor that you could pick. But the other question that I want to take, you know, that if you try to go down to Tanzania,
Boy, your line, young trooper. Can you just move a bit?
Okay, let me do that.
Yeah, that seems better. If you drive down to Tanzania.
Yeah, if you're in Tanzania, there's a lot of the vocab or the dialect is almost like a Zulu. There's a lot of commonness between Swahili and Zulu. And as said, you go down up to the Cameroon basins, coming down to the south. There's so many similarities. So what is the issue? Where are we?
Okay. Paul, I think I hear you, and you got that last question in, because that line was giving me a little trouble. Mongezi, can you comment on that?
We have two issues here. It's the traces of Zulu that are found in Botswana.
Yeah.
I think history would help us here to understand that during the Mfecane and the Fakane movement that happened at the time in the Shakane times, you would find that a whole lot of people, others flee from Shaka, others came to Shaka. You've got the Ndebeles, obviously, in Zimbabwe, who came from the Zululand with Mzilikazi, fleeing from Shaka, going towards Zimbabwe and settled there. And then you find those who would go further, who would choose to break away, splint the group, would also splint from Mzilikazi, going to places like Botswana. You've got 180,000, more than 180,000 Zulus who live in Lesotho. as a result of that. So it is that movement of that historical time that also seen that. On the second layer, where we're talking about Zulu traces found in Tanzania, you find these Zulu traces, you will even find them in places like Sudan, even practices and vocabulary that is the same. This attests to what I've said when we started, that Zulu was part of the larger Nguni group. So all these Ngunis, a lot of words were kept there. And there is something called Proto-Bantu or Ur-Bantu that Professor Greenberg in the ancient times worked on it to see the commonalities in these Bantu languages and Nguni languages. So hence they've been titled under one group of being Bantu languages. So and then two languages, they all share almost 60% of the same vocabulary, and you differ per regions and you introduce different sounds per a region. But the root words, the meaning words will be fine the same.
Okay.
So that's why it's easy to have an interaction with Kiswahili people.
Beautiful. Entle, good morning.
Good morning, Lukwana. How are you?
Mzakazweni. I'm well. I love a tweet.
Listen, Lukwana. Hi, Munges. How are you?
Yeah, I'm jolly good, my sister. Entle, kunjani?
Ngiyaphila. Munges, nyanya, angihambisani nawe. Nakancane. Umntwana akusumi umuntu akazali umntwana. Umuntu uzala ingane, isilwane esizala umntwana. As a result, iy'ngane zenkosi, abantwana benkosi, kuthiwa abantwana besilo. Purely because isilo isilwane, njengoba igama lisho ukuthi isilwane, isilo. Yingakho kuthiwa iy'ngane zenkosi, they are not referred to as iy'ngane zenkosi, they are referred to as abantwana benkosi. Umuntu akanayo umntwana, umuntu nengane ngesiZulu.
My sister, I would not get more into details with that, but I would ask you to look at the morphology, because if you have umuntu and you ngiphisa igama lomuntu, you will then get umuntwana, which is the last person. But isilo sinamazinyane, we call amazinyane, the term umntwana becomes a title, which amakhosi and isilo would have abantwana. We say abantwana, those are all the relatives and everyone was of course not only the offsprings of isilo, but also everyone in the Zulu family in that lineage. So laba abesilo, we call them amazinyane esilo, which is isilo is the lion, then lion will have amazinyane, but umntwana is that. But not forming a debate, it's a very interesting layer of information that you are bringing about that we would also have to look deeply in it.
Okay, my question now comes to you as, why would we don't say umuntu uyazala? Umuntu uyabeletha.
Yes.
Isilwane siyazala. As a result, umntwana uzalwa isilo. Umntwana, ingane ibelethwa umuntu kazala. I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Again, there we need to be okay. Okay, Lukwana, you want to come in?
No. I'll give you the opportunity to respond, but then I just want to give other people a chance, and I want to also put because I want you to respond to that, because there was a tweet from Sipo who also spoke about to the issue of using the word ingane as opposed to umntwana, because he also needs a bit of more clarity there. So I do think this is something you probably want to spend a little more time on. Yeah.
All right. So let's clarify what Usis Entle is saying with beleta and zala. Again, it's not any animal that zalas. We talk about is inkomo. Inkomo iyazala. But inja iyanyelezela. Ikati liyephuka. So each animal has got a process that we use that. And then ukuteta, which is what you're saying, ubeleta also. Ukuteta, which is delivering a baby. So we would say ubanibani utetile. But in terms of lineage, we talk about ukuzalwa, because you would say ngazalwa ngelanga elithile. You don't say ngabelethwa or ngatetwa ngelanga elithile. So it's that interchangeableness of words in isiZulu. But I understand your point that there is what we call the royal language, Lukona, which is what we were battling in the media industry to try and articulate the things that were happening during the death of the Zulu king. But to give Usis Entle the piece of that and my other brother there, is that the word ingane would also mean, because umtuana would also mean descendant of. And then we have usana, which is what is being a baby, that which get born, is usana. and after usana then liyakhula lube ingane, where you have stages now, then you have a toddler ipopodlana, then you have, you know, the next stage, which is an adult umuntu.
Yeah, okay, let's go to Sipho on the line. Sipho, good morning, welcome to the class.
Yes, good morning, sir. Yeah, well, I'm calling with regards to a certain question here to Mr. Mongezi there. I have heard him talking about these dialects. I have forgotten as to how many dialects were they, but he mentioned isiNdungwa during his explanation here. Mm. So I'm calling, just for interest sake and for knowledge, to know whether is that language, was it potentially named after a certain tribe or family? Because I understand that there is this family of Amantungwa, the Kumalos. So could that dialect have been named after that family, or has it been there before the family itself?
Okay.
Sipho,
I have got you. I'm going to take Ulaki as well, Mongezi. Lucky, good morning.
Hi, Lukona, how are you?
I'm well, how are you?
I'm welcoming you to power. I've been listening. I never called on your show.
Ah, welcome.
Yeah, I would like to emphasize a bit on the issue of umntwana nengane.
Yeah.
Coming from the background of the Swati, I'm a Swati.
Mm.
When you talk of umntwana, you talk in Swazi City, which means irrespective of how old that person is, but remain umvana, which means it can be associated with the Zulu dialect with umtana. So in Ghana, it means something small but growing. Yeah. But umtwana, I'm a child to my father, irrespective of how I'm a pensioner. As long as my father is still alive, I'm still umntwana, but yeah. I'm not ingane.
Okay.
I think that your I forgot the name.
Mongez.
He was trying to highlight on
yes.
that, and I'm trying to help the lady that disputed that you are correct to say ingane.
Okay, Entle, I hope, I know Entle is definitely listening on the radio without a doubt. Mongezi, Sipho did have that question.
Yes, the question of Gasipo was on isiNdungwa, Babunguni. IsiNdungwa, yes, that group, there was a group of the Amanguni which comprised of clans such as the Mbatas, the Kumalos, the Mabasos, the Sbias, the Telezi, and Kumedes. They were all Amantungwa. So that's where they all come from. So isiNdungwa was the type of Nguni that was spoken by those people. And hence I said, Ushaka grew up with them Tetwas, who were also part of Amantungwa. So he grew up talking the dialect, which was isiNdungwa. So that's where it comes from. The Kumalos are the clan that is asking about the Kumalos are basically the Ndungwas, because they were part of that big group of Amantungwa.
Okay. There was another question. I mean, there are a number of questions that I will bookmark that have come through the tweets, but let me just ask this one quickly before we finish today. Is there a difference between uNomkhubulwane noMvelinqangi?
uNomkhubulwane, now we're talking about semiology in Zulu. uNomkhubulwane is Mother Earth.
Okay.
And uMvelinqangi is the creator, is the male gene that created everything. So uNomkhubulwane is Mother Earth, is where we are, is what embraces us. As hence we were talking about ukutshalwa kwenkosi, and we are saying inkosi is not buried, ayincwatshwa inkosi, iyatshalwa ibuyiselwa back la kuNomkhubulwane, la iveze khona, because ivele njengohlanga likaNomkhubulwane. So siyitshala siyibuyisele back kuNomkhubulwane ukuze aphinde siphe enye futhi uNomkhubulwane. So it's Mother Earth. uNomkhubulwane, uMvelinqangi is the creator.
Mongezi, I think that point of clarity is the right place to leave it for today. We have another class next week, same time, same place, and I hope that you will be available for us.
Thank you, my brother. I should be available. Thank you very much.
Linguist and language practitioner specializing in isiZulu, Mongezi Bolofo.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.